All right, I think we are live, maybe running a few minutes behind. So I started just a second ago, and it wouldn't start. I went through it about two or three times and had to reset the internet there. And I think everything's set up. I see where it says public, and the red live is up there. All right, starting to see people joining there. I think we're good. We have internet and power here and everything. So just wanted to make sure everything was going to work. There we go. I believe we're in now. So I'm thankful that you're able to be with us tonight, and definitely had intended on being at church tonight. And with the weather, the way it is, the extreme cold, and then also too the slick spots and things that we're dealing with around the church and some of the members around their homes and what have you. So just thought it'd be the safest thing to do is to stay in and get things squared away that way. But I hope you've had a good week so far, and I just want to say, too, appreciate everyone listening in on Sunday and those who have sent messages and what have you. It's a blessing to hear from you and talk with you, even though we can't be together sometimes, but I miss seeing you. Brandy and I have talked about that a few times this week, and looking at the weather for this weekend, what that might bring, but absolutely miss seeing you and being together with you, and I think you'll see kind of how this message partly ties into that, continuing on with our church constitution that we've been looking at. Matter of fact, if you'd like to, you can be turning to Acts chapter number 14. Just turn there for just a minute. But I want to give you an update or check in with you on Sunday, something I thought was kind of funny. I'm sure you heard Emmett meowing. And so he'd come around. Normally he's pretty calm and all that kind of good stuff, and just kind of sleeps most of the time when he's in, especially if it's real cold outside. He doesn't want to run the risk of being kicked out or anything like that. So, but he came through and he's meowing, and I don't know if you could tell back behind us, but that's our bedroom door there. And again, that's what we call our children's church. That's where Brandy keeps Cookie. So just in case she's to get rambunctious, something like that, she's usually pretty calm, pretty chill. But oddly enough and funny enough, on Sunday, I don't know if you could tell, that she had opened the door. She's trying to call him in, and finally he came to the door, and she grabbed him and pulled him in. And so she had him on the inside back there, and he kept meowing and clawing and carrying on, all that kind of good stuff. And I don't know that you could hear, but I heard a loud thud on the deck, and I thought maybe it's just the wind blowing things around and what have you. But after church, after the service here, and I went back to check on it, I noticed our screen was out of the window back there. And so what happened is Emmett wanted out so bad that Brandy opened the window, pushed out the screen, and let Emmett out the window there. So I say all that to say that Children's Church is no joke. Emmett has officially been kicked out of Children's Church at least once. So I appreciate all of our Sunday school teachers and all that they do in teaching our little ones. And it's a challenge sometimes. So I guess we'll just leave it at that. But before we get started tonight, I do think it'd be good for us to go ahead and open in prayer. And then we'll get into tonight's message. And I really think it's valuable. I think it'll offer a lot of insight to you when you think about part of the, I guess, the workings of the church and the furtherance of the church, continuance of it. I think it's really, if we let it, I think it's really going to speak to our hearts and really pull some things to our minds. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather like this, Lord, although we're not together in person, God, as we'd like to be, but we're thankful that we're able to still do this and be able to spend some time together around your word. And God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you help me. God, my thoughts and my mind, Lord, help me to relay, God, what you've given to me, the importance of it, the importance of what we do in the church, and that it not be diminished in any way or taken down in any way, God, that it just be lifted up, that it be the church. Our church would be the church. Each church would be the church that you would have it to be, God. Help us, Lord. Help those that are listening in, whatever they might be facing, Lord. I pray that you be with their objects of prayer. Just be with them and help them. And help me again tonight, Lord, to to preach and teach your word as you would have me to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so again, we're continuing on with the study, which I found to be very, very valuable. I've had this and then read through it a few times, but in talking to people at church, just kind of, we've had several join the church lately, and new Christians and young Christians, and I think it's just good for us to recount what we believe, and we look at it. Now, we know the church covenant is probably more widespread, the church covenant itself, where people know kind of what this church, this independent church, believes in. We're independent Baptist, and so we're not a part of an association or anything like that. And the church covenant is somewhat of a gathering of verses, a gathering of doctrine, if you will, that is put into one place that a church body can read and know this is what this church believes. If, let's say, a non-member wanted to know briefly what our church believed, you can't preach the whole Bible in one sitting, one message, but if somebody wanted to know what does this church believe, you could go and you could see we have ours posted at the church there, and you could read on the wall, okay, this is what this church believes, and if I wanted to join this church, this is what I'm committing to. Preached on this about a week or so ago before our baptisms, just so people would have an idea, this is what I'm committing to. So in the church constitution, to take that a little bit further, this is specific to our church. This is our church constitution. This is what we believe as our church, along with, we also do have displayed our church covenant and what have you. We believe in that, also believe in the doctrines and the teachings of it. But it also, some of those may vary. Some things have some things added to it, that some things that people, church bodies, are agreeing to abstain from, and some have newer things added and what have you. And so as times have changed and maybe a necessity been made for other things to be added, some things have been added in. But again, this is specifically about our church. And last week we were talking about the body of the church, and the importance of each member. No big member, little member. Every member is important. And the blessing of being able to be together, and also knowing that being a member of a church first calls for the person to be saved. A born-again believer in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the gospel and the finished work of what he did for us on the cross. It's not about just a body or a group of people voting someone in to just be a member. It's always by baptism, after believing in faith, the finished works of Jesus Christ, the gospel. So that's the imperative piece. And then after that, what we're going to be looking at tonight is we believe that the establishment, and the continuance of local churches is clearly taught and defined in the New Testament scriptures. And so when you go back, and especially in the book of Acts, where we'll spend most of our time tonight, there's a lot of movement. It's been referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, what have you. So after the Gospels, you move into the phase of the church, and it's growing. You are seeing by grace through faith, you're exiting. We'll talk a little bit about dispensationalism tonight, but you're exiting the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace, and so it's different. And so there was a transitional period there, and that's what the book of Acts served as. You see a lot, and so as the apostles were going through the different continents, the different places throughout the world on the missionary tours and trips they were going to, they would literally go house to house witnessing to people and to move them to call them, if you will, encourage them to join the local body, the local assembly of the church. I thought about this a lot today. I have a few members that has another family member who does not attend our church, but was in the hospital and had a very serious surgery this morning. And so as the text, we sometimes it's a call tree we'll send out, or a text or what have you, to get the information out to the members of the church. It was in prayer for this surgery. And so what was a real blessing to see also was how people in the church were gathering around this prayer request and really trying to encourage the family, and then the family also responding back. What a blessing that it is to receive that. There's a special protection, the hedge of protection, that I believe that remains and is inside the church, and then also just that fellowship that you have. And ironically enough, we're not there together tonight, which I had it in my mind that that's how this message would be, is that we'd be together. But the importance of that, it's nice to have friends and what have you, and I wouldn't take anything from my good friends, so I'm not taking away from that, but there's something special about the local assembly, the body of believers who are gathered not only in friendship, but fellowship in the spiritual side of things through Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is the tightest bond that there can be, I believe. When the Lord bonds us together, there's no tighter bond than that. Not saying man can't mess up, man can, but God doesn't. And when He bonds us together in such a way, it's special. And so as you see this going through here, Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it goes on here talking about the church of Antioch here. Number one, there's three things I want us to look at tonight. Number one, the church. Number two, the wolves. And number three, the elders, as we'll finish up with that part of it. But the first part here, the church, and it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so what it's talking about here, they gathered the church together. It speaks of the local assembly joining together. They came together and they rehearsed, is what it says. You look at the word rehearse, that means to recite and recount events or transactions. So as this group of people were together, I firmly believe they had what they had, probably the Old Testament there, the New Testament not completed at this point and what have you, but had the word that they had, but the teachings, the doctrines of grace. But you also have, I believe what you're seeing here is you're going to have some that were of the Jewish nation, but also some of the Gentiles. And see, that was a miraculous thing for them at that time, the Jewish people at that time especially, is that they had the oracles of God from the Old Testament. You go back to Moses when the law was handed down, they had the hard copy of it, and that was passed on, and that was for them, the Jewish people, to share. And if you go back and you look early on too, Jesus said not to go into the way of the Gentiles, but in the way of my house first, the house of Israel. And so this gospel was to be preached and taught to the Jewish people. And so this church here, I believe you'll find it makes mention of Antioch there in Acts 14. It says, again, when they were come together, they'd gathered the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them. I think that was probably a time of revelation and a time of revival. And just thinking about how miraculous it is that God had joined these different nations of people together, you know, for so long that it was enemies. You go back again, look at the Old Testament, how you had the Jewish nation and all the Hittites and all the Ites and what have you that they were against, that would come up against this nation. And so now to see seemingly the potential of a time of peace, but it all centered around the Word of God, and it centered around the gospel and those who were willing to believe in it, and how it opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. And so that would be probably, it's hard for us maybe to imagine that, but looking across the aisle and seeing all these different nationalities, us being a missionary church, that's the Great Commission, preach to reach each and either go or send somebody. That's maybe commonplace for us, but in the very beginning, it was probably a little awkward. Felt a little different to them. But they were reciting and they were excited about what God was doing and how He was moving. And so you see these churches are being established, and they were being established to be continued on in the local church. They didn't go about to set up associations and what have you, not to say that there are not sister churches around us that we have wonderful fellowship with, and I'm thankful for that. But the local body is how God has ordained for the work of the church to go forward, for it to not outgrow itself. We'll talk a little bit about that too. I think church growth is a wonderful thing, but it has to be growth, spiritual growth first. It has to be centered around the gospel, centered around the teaching and the doctrines of the Word of God, and not just, hey, we want to see how many we can will join our church or attend our church or what have you. It has to be centered around the will of God. And you look at what is being taught here also in Acts chapter number 20. Spend quite a bit of time here. And again, these verses, the reason I'm using these verses, if you're wondering where or why I'm picking these verses out, this is what we have listed in our church constitution that shows the evidence, if you will, or the doctrine to support what we believe, why we believe in the establishment and the continuance of the local church versus, hey, everybody just do what you want to. Don't go to church. Just listen online somewhere. I can promise you with everything in me, you will not get online what you get in the joining and the participation of the local assembly of your church. You can't even compare it. I know we gather like this and it's kind of different. I think sometimes that attracts people because it's different, and people to some degree enjoy it. But when you're talking about being in church and the choir singing and the Spirit move in such a way, it's hard to feel that. It's hard to experience that at home versus being there in person. And now I do know and understand there's times that people can't get out and what have you. So I am thankful. I am thankful under circumstances as that the Spirit can absolutely move and do His work. The Spirit is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. But those of us who can be and be in attendance, we need to be faithful and be in attendance. And what it goes on to say here in Acts chapter number 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And so when you see this teaching here, this was an established church. It wasn't a group of people who were, I'll use the word novice. We'll use that. We'll see that in just a little bit. It wasn't a group of people that were novices in the Word of God. There were some elders. There were some spiritual maturity that is there. And I want to say this, the work of the Lord takes great spiritual maturity to not get caught up in false doctrines, false teachings, and not to be taken with every wind of doctrine, as the Bible also says. There's many different verses that we could use tonight, but I'm trying to keep it brief, and I want this to help us. I want us to see the state of our church, but also the state of the church and how God intends it to be versus how it could be if things were to creep in unaware. We got to have our head on a swivel. We got to be vigilant as church leaders and be aware as church members as to what's going on. But again, I believe this is talking here at Acts 20 about the church at Ephesus. And now they'd kind of come through or moved through there from Miletus. They're on the move. And so they were going house to house. I believe you'll read and see there. And I believe what they were doing was encouraging people to find the local assembly, the local church in their area, and to attend to that church. First, listen to the gospel, accept Jesus Christ, get into a Bible teaching, preaching church so you can understand and learn and grow in the doctrines, and not be, again, speaking to the Gentiles specifically, not be as the barbarians and just wild people that had no God, no morals. You think about pulling the Gentile people in. That was a miraculous change. It's a change in anybody's heart. But I believe it was a miraculous change that people witnessed to see. These people didn't even believe in anything. And now they're seated here with us in church. What an amazing thing. You can recount too in the Gospels when Jesus would exercise demons out of people. And people could see that change. I think it would kind of speak somewhat to that. But so you see this establishment. You see this also the continuance piece. I want to spend a little time here in Acts 20, verses 28 through 32. Think about how important the church is. I'll say this again, the invisible body of the church is to Jesus Christ. That's his bride. He's the bridegroom, and we are his bride, and how he wants to present us spotless before his Father, and how he wants us to be. Think about how important our churches, our local assembly churches, are to Jesus himself, and each one of us who has a position, a role, whether it be preacher, whether it be deacon, Sunday school teacher. I want you to think about the seriousness of the role that you play, and take that to heart. And this is what he's teaching here in Acts 20, 28 through 32. Look what he says. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." He's saying, now, you're going to have to take care of yourself. It's not a place where you tell people what they need to do, but you yourself are not doing those things. My goodness, the importance of practicing what we preach. Had a pastor tell me one time, if you don't live it, if we don't live it, we can't preach it. And that's some very solid and sound advice. You can't tell people to do this and not to do that if you're partaking of those things. And we are called as preachers to preach the whole Word of God, so you can't leave things out and do it right. We are absolutely held accountable for what we do with the Word of God, the calling that we have. We are so accountable. I think you can look back too and see, as the dispensation was changing from law into grace, you can see how that was taken away, if you will. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but how there was a transitioning from the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, doing the preaching and the teaching, and how that was passed over into the Gentile people as an emulation to the Jewish people, making them jealous, saying, hey, listen, if you forsake me and if you're not going to take this torch and carry it, I'm going to give it to somebody else. And how hard and disheartening that would be, that God would entrust something with us, but us not take it serious enough to see it through the way that he'd have us to see it through. The local church is very serious. It's very serious business, and it is to be conducted in the right way. We're going to be held accountable for that. And again, from the preachers on down, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock." So this is where spiritual maturity really comes into play. If you can't help yourself and can't somewhat take care of yourself, how are you going to help somebody else? We're supposed to get the beam out of our eye before we try to help somebody remove the speck out of theirs. And so I really see how the Word of God comes full circle so many times. And if you want to be a good mentor, a good preacher, you have to lead by example. And I tell you, it's a big responsibility, but there's no greater responsibility or greater joy than trying to help people the way God has intended for us to do it. Preaching the gospel, seeing people being saved, seeing people join the church, and seeing a church surround themselves around other people and just have that hedge and that support network. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing to see how God has ordained this to be. But it has to be done the way that he wants it to be. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." There's a reminder there. Remember, that calling, that conviction was by the Holy Ghost, and the importance of taking care of this flock is of God himself. He is passing that responsibility to the under-shepherds to take care of these flocks in this local assembly, in the local church, the continuance of it. God intends for it to continue that way, not to be spread out, not to be watered down, not to be diminished, but to be held the way it's supposed to be held. And I'm not saying this in a way of ruling with an iron fist or in a way of ruling legalistically or anything like that, but spiritually, when you can look across the congregation knowing that you need their help, they need your help, and you work together. You work together to follow the great command, love your neighbors as yourself, love one another as I have loved you, what we see in the Gospel of John. And he's talking about the importance of overseers to feed the church of God. Now, that is the whole counsel of the Word of God. Those things that step on my toes, those things that step on your toes, that we all get in line and follow God the way He would have us to. It's that important. I see us as a group. In the Old Testament, you see how it was laid out there as they were traveling together through the wilderness. That is very much like what we're doing now. You say, well, we don't move from tent to tent and town to town and what have you, but we are moving through time with anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ and the importance of keeping us together as we move forward. That's the way I see it. And if we do remove from this church, we as soon as possible reunite with a church of like faith to carry out this commission. We stay in church. You see the continuance of it. Understand, sometimes people have to move and have to go places and things in life change. I get that and understand. But this commission goes forward. Again, if you follow the doctrine of God, it goes forward. And it goes on to say, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's no way that you can miss what Luke is saying here, the importance of us taking care of one another, the importance of the Word of God being preached by the man of God, it not be watered down, and it not be passed off for any reason, for any reason. Now, number two, this is number two, and again, the title I gave number two was Wolves. Look what it says. Look what it says here and what the way Luke is talking here, what he is saying. He says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. He knew, you could see the anticipation of what was going to happen here. He knew how things were going to change. He knew that after he came through, encouraged them, preached to them, taught them the importance of being in church, joining a church, that wolves were going to come in behind him and try to persuade them to go a different route. When you look through the New Testament church epistles, the writing, you start at Romans and look at all that Paul had written there, the correction and the doctrine and the reproof, and how the order of the house of God was to be conducted until Jesus come back. It was for a purpose. There are many people, there are enemies outside the church that would love nothing more than to pull us away, pull us into a different doctrine, pull us into a different way of thinking. You'll see it in Jude. A lot of times it was for filthy lucre's sake, lasciviousness, and it was for the purpose of money. People heaping to themselves money and then also hearers, having itching ears, heaping to themselves false teachers. And so when you look at it that way, today I look on the main, on the big screen, if you will, and see a lot of these evangelists on TV, and if you want to call them that, but these mega churches, I've heard them referred to, cults, I've heard them referred to as many different things. And it doesn't take long if you listen, if you've been exposed to the gospel, the word of God, sound teaching, it doesn't take you long as a hearer to say something isn't right. Your hinky meter goes off. That's what I call it. Something isn't right here. Watched a lot of documentaries, Brandy and I, on cults, and in our minds, it's like, now, how are these people, how are they deceived? How do they fall for such deception that doctors, attorneys, lawyers, people of influence, people with money, that they would sell everything they have, give all their money to this person? Why would they do that? And the great deception that was taking place, and many that you see on TV will say, if you give this money, you will have money. You give me money, God will bless you with money, and he will bless you with health. You'll have all these things, and you'll have a better life if you give me money. And I want to say, the problem with that is, it's not in the Word of God. That's false teaching. Some things kind of hit us in the face like a pie, or like a really bright light, and it just kind of like, whoa, that ain't right. Something's not right here. And so that's what he's saying here. He says that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so they only care for themselves. I think you'll also find it that the good shepherd come by the way of the door, but others come by another way, hirelings, those that are there for the money, for money's sake. And I tell you, you can't be in the gospel preaching business, if you want to use that term. It's not about the money. When you see how the Lord works, the responsibility, the imperativeness of doing it right, it's a grave responsibility. And I'm telling you, it's you should be able to tell if you see externally a false teacher coming. You should be able to tell and be able to see that. But now this is where it gets very interesting to me in looking at this. And I don't remember ever doing a specific study before this on this topic until now. But now you look at what it says, entering among you, not sparing the wolves. You've got people coming in from the outside. It says enter in. You've got people on the outside with exterior motives coming in. And this was the warning that was going out. Now, look what it says here. Also of your own selves shall men arise. People from the inside. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? How in the world could somebody be exposed to the gospel, exposed to this doctrine, be on the inside, be in the church, a member of the church, and do such a thing? Sometimes I don't think people realize what they're doing. I don't know if there's where the blindness comes in and what have you. Sometimes I just don't think people realize what they're doing. It says again, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What I take from this, it talks about perverse. That means speaking things that's against the word of God, things that's been twisted, manipulated, maybe to perceive that it says one thing, but they're actually saying it for another reason. And it's all right here. If you want to know the motive, you're going to find it right here. Also of your own selves, maybe I see this as somebody that's saying, you know what, I'm tired of how things are run here, and I think I can do it better. I think if I can get a few people in here together, then we can turn this thing. We'll do something different. We'll do it a different way. And here's the thing. If that church is not doing things right, then prescribed, maybe it should be done a different way. But if that is a Bible-believing teaching church, it needs to stay the way that it is. This is speaking about a perverse action. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They are trying to create their own disciples. They're trying to create their own followers of themselves. Now, I tell you, that is pride. That's being puffed up. That is, I've got a better way than this, and I'm going to try to turn people away from this to do things my way. Luke here is giving a warning. This is not how it's supposed to take place. You're supposed to stay faithful and truthful to the doctrines of God. You see, if we all stay in God's word, we know what his will is. It's not something hidden. It's not something that's not been revealed to us. We got to stay in his word and work together. And the warning is going out, watch out for them that are causing this division. The Bible even also says, mark them which cause division. You have people that are causing division in churches and different things like that, or against churches. The Bible says to mark them, to watch for them. What is going on? There's something wrong. The hinky meter is going off. Something isn't right. And then it goes on to say here after that, therefore, watch and remember. Watch and remember. I want to encourage you with this right here. Sometimes things don't unfold instantly. Sometimes things don't turn on a dime. Sometimes things happen and you're left wondering, what's going on? Why is this happening? And then you've got the rumor mill. You've got things. People say this. People say that. People trying to figure out what's going on, why this and why that. The Bible teaches us here, watch. Watch. The Bible also teaches us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. the Bible warns of these things. You know, that's something that, for the most part, when I thought about false doctrines, false teachers, it was people on the outside trying to pervert the church. We see an instance here of people on the inside trying to change things, to turn other people toward them. And if you're toward turning people towards you, you're turning people away from God. Everybody, every preacher, God-called preacher, it is our responsibility to point people to God, not to ourselves. I know Paul says, "Follow me, even as I follow Christ," and that is some strong words there to be able to say that. But I believe with all my heart, he's trying to say, "Hey, I'm trying to be a good example. Follow me as I follow Christ." But it's still yet he's pointing people to Christ. But then he's saying, therefore, watch and remember. Watch. Give this some time and watch. Remember what I've preached to you. Remember what I've taught you. Remember what the Word of God says. When you are saved, you have that inner dwelling, you're following the Word of God, and you're watching and you're listening, the Holy Spirit is going to make things so plain to you that you can't miss it. It's not anything of any private interpretation, anything like that. He makes it plain to us. He gives you that peace in your heart. The hinky meter goes away, and you have that sound peace in your heart, knowing this is what God wants. That's what we should strive for constantly. And going back to Sunday's message, what is your need? Take note of your need. Stay as close to God as you can. Keep those communication lines open. He is going to make himself known to you. Again, my pastor years ago in talking about things and in surrendering to preach, it was, I want to make sure that I don't miss this. I don't mess up. And he would always say, pray that the Lord would make it plain. And there's so many times in my life I can go back to that, and I can tell you the Lord made it plain. But you got to wait on him. We have to wait on him and remember what his word says, that by the space of 3 years, this warning went out. By Luke here said, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He sent out the warning. He was convicted. He was burdened for this church. He's saying, listen, people are going to try to come in and persuade you to go a different route. And he was so burdened, he was crying over these people. He said, listen. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I give you to God. I'm laying you in God's hands. I tell you, when people are trying to figure things out for themselves, it's one thing if a man is trying to persuade people one way or the other on something, but it is a blessed thing when the Lord himself, when a person and people has been committed to the Lord, and the Lord is the one who is making it plain to those people. That's when you have that inner peace and that knowledge. You say, okay, this is the truth. This is the truth of the matter. This is how it is. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, pointed them back to God, pointed them to his word. And again, the word of grace, talking about the grace of the gospel, the word of grace, which is able to build you up. It's able to strengthen you. Again, this is not even just talking about just individuals, but it's talking about building up the church. Again, we're talking about the establishment and the continuance of the church. Not all this division, not all this backbiting and all this kind of stuff, but building the church the way it's supposed to be built. That's the way the Bible is teaching it here, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see how the warning goes out. You see the wolves here and how the warning goes out, but it brings the church back together. That hedge of protection that we're talking about. I've been talking about that a little bit for the last few messages. The way the messages have come together, the context has come together, that's what it's talking about. And you say, well, how do I know who I can trust and who I don't trust? If you will, let's turn to 1 Timothy. And I'll hurry here. I know our time is getting gone pretty quick, and I'm absolutely not going to go through this in great detail. But I wanted to read something to you here. How do you know who to trust, And there's a time period, I guess you could say. And I'm not saying you set a clock and look at it that way. But if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, this is the section on the elders. Number one, we talked about the church. Number two, we talked about the wolves. Number three, I'll be closing with this. We're talking about the elders of the church. It is imperative that people, church members, have confidence in their church leadership, the elders of the church, the pastor, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers. That leads again to if we're not practicing it, we can't preach what we're not practicing. The importance of living out what the Word of God calls us to live out. Look what it says here, 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13. It says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" I want to stop there for just a second. I remember this as a time. It wasn't when I surrendered to preach, and what I have seen take place in our churches, common, I think, for the most part. There's a time of setting aside. You'll see that also with deacons. If someone is interested or being called to be a deacon, there's a time of setting aside. You say, well, what's that for? If God has said, if God has told me, I'm calling you to preach, then what's the issue? What's the question? Why not just take that and run with it? There's a time that people need to be able to observe, gain confidence, and I'm not saying necessarily in a critical way, but be able to observe and be able to see if this calling is real for a person. I remember that was probably one of the most delicate times of my life, a very self-conscious time of my life. Not only was I doing a lot of introspection, looking at myself, self-examination, but knowing and feeling others were doing the same thing and trying to seek out what God would have me to do. But here's the thing. It's a great reminder to me constantly, every single day, and I mean this with all my heart, the importance of trying to do things right by the Bible as much as possible. People are always watching us. And when you see what it's saying here, these things that are outlined, that it's to take note of these things. People are to take notes. The congregation, church members are to take notes of these things, saying, hey, does this person, does this man, clearly what the Bible is saying here, does this man meet these qualifications? Is he following these things? And it's not just a mean checkoff list, but if some of these things are out of place, that's a warning. That's a warning sign. Wait. The Bible also says, be quick to lay hands on no man. You're not supposed to just ordain, say, hey, this person said he's called, ordain him, let's go. No, not none whatsoever. That's not how it's supposed to take place. Verse number 6 leads into this, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. And that word novice, it simply means one who is new to any business, in any business, one that is new in any business. It takes time. Surrendering to preach, being called to preach, being sure of that call, it takes time. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you this. I would want to be as sure of this call for myself as a preacher as I would for others who would be placing confidence in me. It's a two-point thing here. It's important. If you can't place full confidence in the preacher, then something isn't right. Something has to be worked out, I guess, if you will. And something has to be done right. And the way to be right is to follow the Word of God explicitly like it says. That doesn't mean, when you see the word blameless, that doesn't mean perfect in that this man can never make a mistake. Blameless, in my definition of it, means you're going to try to do everything right. I tell you what, beating this old flesh down and bringing it into subjection is not an easy thing for anybody. It's not an easy thing for the preacher either. It's not an easy thing for anybody. But then he goes on to say here, verse number 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and pure conscience. And let these also be first proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. You see how it's giving the description, the work plan, if you will. It's giving us the work plan straight from the Word of God and how it's supposed to be. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the reward. You think about the seriousness of it to the point where you could almost say, well, who could do it? Who would want to do it? The Lord just lays a burden in such a way. And that's his calling. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance is what the Bible also teaches us. But look at verse 14 and 15 real quick. It says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. This is Paul talking to Timothy, saying, I'm writing this to you, and I want to come visit with you shortly, but if he can't. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is how we are to react, how we are to respond and carry out our life in the church. I know we've covered a lot of ground here, and we are reaching about that 1 hour mark. But since we're online, I just wanted to share something else with you. The importance of what we're talking about, the church. It's not about just growing a number. It's not about growing in number, but it's about growing in faith and staying faithful and truly leading people to Jesus Christ for salvation. And then watching those people grow, disciple those people. That is the calling of the church, to reach everybody that we can with the gospel and to take care of the local assembly with everything that we have in us. It's a grave responsibility. I want to give us an example, and I'm going to close with this. It might be a little lengthy, but I want us to understand and see something. When you go back and you look at the end of the dispensation with the law, it seems like the Jewish faith, the Jewish nation, and I'm not throwing off on them when I'm saying this, but you see, they rejected their king. They rejected Jesus Christ as their king. So if you go back and you look at that dispensation of the law, what you'll see, the law was given. Let's go back to Abraham. With Abraham, God promised that his seed would be greater than the sand of the sea, of the beach, of the this ocean, the sand there, that it could not be numbered, and also the stars in the skies, in the heavens. He couldn't be numbered. He's going to grow out of him and Sarah a nation. Her being barren, what a miracle that is in and of itself. But that's the inception of the nation of Israel. That's when that started. You go back to Abraham, and then you go up to the point with Moses. Again, you think about the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You come to Moses, and you see something here where Moses was given the law, the oracles of God. This is righteousness. This is how you are to live out your life. What the Jewish people were asked to do, commanded to do by God, was by faith, trust him, and follow him. Follow him. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is our responsibility to follow him and not follow ourselves. He's the leader. we should want what he wants. He's guiding us. Now, when he pulled Abraham out of his nation, his home nation and home location, he said, I'm going to take you to a place that I will show thee. He didn't tell him everything out front. It was by way of faith. You and I live by way of faith now. And as you go through the Old Testament, you see the ups and downs that the nation of Israel had based off of their obedience or their disobedience to God. They rose and fell based off of that. They even found themselves in captivity because they disobeyed God. His own people that he wanted to succeed more than anything, he had to justly, righteously judge his own people because of their unbelief, of their unfaithfulness. And I want you to know, as the church today, we are not in a different, we're in the same set of circumstances. We are accountable to God. We're accountable to each other and to God. So you go up to Malachi. After Malachi, you have 400 silent years. The Lord didn't speak. The Lord, there was no prophets. There was no books being written there and what have you, books of the Bible. Everything fell silent. 400 years, that's a long time for man not to hear from God. You think about the dark ages and what that time represents. Then you enter into the book of Matthew, the Gospels. You get to Matthew and you see the birth of Jesus Christ. You see a whole new thing that's coming in. And you see the faith that would take. Here's Jesus. You remember, I believe it's the book of Isaiah. You go back and the prophet was prophesying about Jesus when he was going to preach to them in the temple. And he was saying who he was and declaring who he was. And they would rip their clothes and call him a blasphemer. They did not trust and believe. Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, was talking to these people. And they didn't see him that way. They didn't trust him enough. And you see, as that goes on, what takes place? Jesus went to his own. As we were saying earlier, Jesus went to his own. He said, go to my house. Go to the house of my people, house of Israel first, not to the way of the Gentile, that they might be saved. Preach the gospel to them. And no doubt some were. Many weren't. And then you get through the time of his life, that 33 and a half years, it comes up to the time of his crucifixion. And you know, they had it inscribed there, the King of the Jews. That's what the inscription above his cross said. And the Jewish people said, take that off. He's not our king. Take that off. You see, how did this nation that began the way it began, the humble beginnings, the promise that it began with Abraham, get all the way to this point that he was standing before them literally? And they didn't even know him. They didn't recognize him as their king. And you see, this ushered in a complete different dispensation. After Jesus went to the cross, it ushered in the dispensation of grace, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you had this time period for emulation. That's jealousy, that it was taken, the word of God taken from the nation of Israel, given to Gentiles, you and me, the church, to share with this generation. You know how serious that is? And time go on, I believe some 2,000 years from that time to where we are today, if we are not careful, we are going to be in the same condition, the same place, the same actions as these Jewish people were, not following their God. God up to this point could have chosen him and didn't. Now, God knew in his infinite wisdom how it was going to be, how it was going to happen. When you see all of the dispensations, all of time, but I say all this to say this, how important is it for you and me to finish strong, to do this right, this responsibility? Jesus is coming. I believe with all my heart, he is coming soon. You see everything unraveling throughout the nation, throughout the world. There's contention on every hand. It's gotten to the place nobody can get along or agree with anybody over anything. It's all just division. You see how that's come to be. And I tell you, again, I've spoke to this. You see how AI has come out to be. You say, how in the world is this great delusion going to be sent out? You can see it now. You can absolutely see it now. It is here. It is right here. And I say all this to say, you say, well, my goodness, why are you using all that to close that? I say all this to say this. It is important for you and me to stay in the Word of God, to stay faithful to the house of God, and follow Him all the way through. I want to say this by way of encouragement, too. It's not going to get any easier. The things are waxing worse and worse, and I don't want to be outside the hedge of protection of the local church that God has given to us. I want to stay with Him, be with Him, and do what He'd have us to do, and that's what He's asking us to do. I tell you what, church, if we stay in that hedge, He's going to protect us. He's going to watch after us, and He's going to guide us. This is so important, imperative, that we do this. I just hope and I pray that this is a help to you. I hope it's not too much. It's online. You can pause it. You can replay it. You can turn it off. Whatever you like to do. But I want us to see and understand the importance of the dispensation that we're in, and understand and know, I believe with all my heart, time is quickly coming to an end. And I want to be on the right side of things. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for His Word. And I want to make sure we, as the local assembly, are following Him. I want to say this by way of encouragement. I'm going to close with prayer. I've got about a minute left, if you're going to count it by an hour. I want to say this. I don't try to pull people from other churches, anything like that at all. I want to say this. If you have a Bible teaching, preaching church, you stay as faithful to that church as you can. You uplift your pastor in prayer. You uplift the deacons, the elders, the Sunday school teachers. You uplift them in prayer. Be that faithful member that you want the church to be for you, that you need the church to be. Now, I understand this centers around Jesus Christ, but each individual is the one who makes up the church. You think about the responsibility that places back on every single one of us. You be faithful to your church. You get in there and you serve with all your might. You serve to the glory and to the honor of God. Whatever it is you do it to the glory and the honor of God. And I'm going to close right there. I hope that will give you some word of encouragement. And let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your Word and just how you lay it out. Lord God, if we'll take time to study it and try to understand it, Lord, I thank you that you show us in our hearts. You guide us through the Holy Spirit, through things, Lord, when we don't know what to believe, what to expect. God, I know that you guide us into all truth through prayer, through your Word, and through the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for everybody that's listening. I pray to that you encourage them and help them. God, that you would strengthen their churches. Just help them to remain faithful as members and just see the importance of what we're doing, what we're carrying out and seeing through. Occupy until your return, God, the importance of doing that until your return. God, again, thank you so much for all that you do for us. I pray for everyone that's listening, that's lost. God, I pray that you touch their hearts and help them see that grave importance of being saved, Lord. Go with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening in.